book on the passage we're going to talk about. One-fifth of his entire book is on this passage about Naaman. Here is your leprosy quiz for tonight. Are you ready? Just the first one that knows the answer, speak it out. What former leper of Bethany entertained Jesus in his home? Former leper of Bethany entertained Jesus? Simon. What king of Judah was a leper until the day of his death? In the year he died, Uzziah. What captain of the armies of Syria was a leper? Naaman. What prophetess became a snow-white leper for a short time? Miriam. Who put his hand into his bosom and drawing it out found it leprous? Moses. Well, who became a leper after he lied to Elisha? Heard it already? Okay. And who told Moses to send lepers away from the Israelite camp? God. And what is the greatest number of lepers Jesus healed at any one time? 10. There you go. You have been quizzed now on leprosy from the scriptures. If you're turning with, I guess you're still over, probably there before I am, and that was 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm not going to read the entire passage because next week is Naaman the Big Dipper. That's next week. Naaman the Big Dipper. Tonight is leprosy's lingering legacy. And so, yes, in case you're wondering, I do try to do titles that catch people's attention so that they will. I'm just teasing and somewhat. We find Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, just three verses, I think. And Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And he was also a mighty man of valor. And if it wasn't, we could leave off that last little phrase, he would have been like, wow, has everything, but he was a leper. And Assyrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. By the way, stop, hold your finger. Is this accidental or by God's divine providence do you think that he brings this little maid who's been trained and raised in a Hebrew home? Divine providence. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. May the Lord's blessing to the reading of his word. Pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, direct in my thoughts now, next few moments, may I say nothing amiss. May this wondrous passage not be hindered by my words in any way. May your spirit work in all of our lives. I ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I like what I found mining through some of the commentaries. I found this, I think it was Keelan Delitch. The healing of Naaman, the leper, is not just a story of the healing of a man from one of the most dreaded diseases of ancient times, but is the story of salvation, one which illustrates the spiritual salvation man finds only in Jesus Christ and how men come to find that salvation in Christ. Leprosy is one of the most potent, if you would, illustrations of sin. Leprosy in the Bible, picture of sin for the spiritual person. This is Elisha's spotlighted experience. If I were to ask you, what is the one experience in Elisha's life that would be found in the New Testament writings, you would immediately say, Naaman, the healing of Naaman, and you would be right. You might not immediately say that, but you would have been right. Had you somehow ventured to guess that, you'd have been correct. I find in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, listen to this, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. That's a pretty sad thing when you can think about the Israel. He was an Israelite, and only the Syrian was cleansed. Isn't it interesting how they use the word leprosy? A lot of things are healed. Your leg was healed. Your eyes were healed. Your ears were healed. Whatever. You were cleansed. We are cleansed from sin, are we not? By the precious blood of Christ, we are cleansed. Leprosy had to be cleansed. Number one, if you're, the New Testament are your first two words there. This is Elisha's spotlighted experience. Is the only experience of Elisha's referred to in the New Testament or covenant. Number one, the circumstances of Naaman's life, magnificence. We see, first of all, his position. He was captain of the host. Question number one, what will be today's equivalent of Naaman's position? What do you think? What will be today's equivalent of Naaman's position in Syrian's army? Chief of staff. He was like the chief. He was a joint chairman. He was like the five-star general. He was the head of the chief of staff. He was the numero uno military position. Interesting. I was just reading again, or reading this week, and some would believe that the reason he has this. Do you remember when Ahab, it was Jehoshaphat and Ahab, and a man pulled a bow at a venture and shot. They believe this was likely Naaman. Pulled and just shot at a venture. And went right under there, and I think right under here, and killed old King Ahab. And so, because of that, Naaman's been promoted. Well, what does the Lord say? The Lord said through the human author, a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So, we don't have to stop and say that's not a cardinal doctrine of the Bible, but interesting nonetheless, I find that. He's a very important man. He's a top military position. Secondly, his preference. Did Naaman, his king, have a good relationship? Absolutely. Now, often you will find, I believe there will be, if you're the highest military man and you don't like the person, the president, you might have a military coup. I don't think this was it at all, except for unless you're Vladimir Putin. And I think everybody probably trembles when he says something. And he made some remarks I just was reading today. But we find that often the military person will try. I don't think it was it. I think the king and Naaman had a great relationship as much as it could be. He was honorable for his praise. So position, preference, praise. He was honorable, praise, and given honors. Some honors from the king, obviously, or various groups. He was a man of character, this Naaman. Actually, he had everything you could imagine, you could want. His name actually means gracious and well-formed, to be delightful, pleasant, beautiful. Evidently, Naaman was a handsome rascal, except for one thing, leprosy. Is that not a picture of the world today, striving for everything to have, to obtain, to get everything absolutely possible, as much as you can, and to live in the biggest house, drive the fastest car, the biggest, whatever. A lot of the world wants this, to position in a ladder, to get this position in this company, and then when I get there, and they're going to find out, is when they get into eternity, everything they worked for was for naught, because you have the one overriding thing is, you don't know Christ as Savior, and all for naught. I was thinking, just for some reason, I was thinking of Black Mamba, his name was, a basketball player, Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest basketball players ever. That was his nickname. Fast, excellent, and he died. I really pray that he really knew Christ as Savior. He and his daughter, when a helicopter crashed a couple years ago, wasn't planned. My goodness, he had the world, if you would, by the tail, if you want to call it that. He had everything, fame, and he had the acclaim and respect of everybody, pretty much. And yet, Naaman had the claim, the respect, even the king liked him, and yet he had one singular thing that everything else was put on the back burner compared to this, his leprous. Fourthly, his performance. Now, before I go any further, before I even forget to mention this, evidently, Syria and Israel did not have the same distancing rules, if you would, as did Israel. Israel, remember, God was very clear. When you got leprosy as an Israelite, you were out until you got miraculously healed, then you had to go through over the priest, etc., and be cleansed. You had to burn the houses, all these different things. Syria was not God's chosen people, so they did not have the same, evidently. I'm not saying he went around touching everything and trying to get people's leprosy. I'm just saying they did not have the same rules regarding service. So, and that's how Naaman could still be number one militarily in a kingdom, even though he had leprosy. Three, in case you're wondering that question. Who was Syria's main threat? It wasn't Israel. It was Assyria. Assyrians were the main threat to their independence. Fourthly, who was given credit for the success of Naaman? Well, very clearly, I like this. We've got to love this. Because by him the Lord have given deliverance unto Syria. God is sovereign over all. There's not, I like what Friel says, there's not a radical molecule in the entire universe. God is, he's sovereign over it all. And if you start going away from that, you're going to go into open theism, perhaps, that God does not know what's all going on and takes him by surprise and all these things. He's got to rearrange his schedule when people do this. He knows and is in control. And I love that. Don't you love that? Do you want a God who simply, he's scrambling up in heaven to answer the COVID problem, or he's scrambling to do that? He's not. He's not. There's no emergency session. He's still in control of these things. And not only there's prowess as well. He was a soldier of superior skills. He did not get the promotion through pulling strings or by outstanding work. And perhaps it was he shot Ahab and killed Ahab. That might have been part of it. So that was magnificent. Secondly, is his malady. The malady is found there at the end of verse 1, but he was a leper. And even it would be just simply said in the Hebrew, maybe was a leper. Not even the was. It was Naaman, a leper. And that's such, we live in an era, by the way, when your identity is so much about who you are. And people are signing on for this identity or that identity or becoming this or becoming that. The most important thing I tell you about you is that you are a child of God or not. That's the most important thing. And we are living in what God has made us to be. That's what we should be. When we rebel against that, we're rebelling against Almighty God. So suddenly, the interjection of a leper emphasizes the fact that all the wonderful circumstances of Naaman just described were ruined by leprosy. It was a terrible disease. He was a great as the world could make him. One man said, the bravest slave of Syria would not change skins with him if he might have his honor to boot. Well, leprosy does to the person physically. I believe sin does to the person spiritually. The rite of purification, by the way, in the Old Testament did not cure. It only recognized the fact that a leper was cured and he was clean of the disease, or that he never really had an incurable type of leprosy in the first place. So when they pronounced him cured of leprosy or cleansed of leprosy, that was not the curing. God would have to do it, honestly, pretty much in Bible times, there was no cure for leprosy. There are many today. There are many Hansen's disease. There are many, effective treatments for leprosy today. However, in that era, it was not. So God had to heal you. Now, five characteristics, as we hasten to add, five characteristics. Number one is it is defiling. Leprosy is absolutely defiling. In Bible times, what did God's law for Israel require a leper to do? To stay away, to be separate, to segregate, to quarantine, if you would, and to holler, you're unclean. Unclean, stay away, unclean. Stay. Can you imagine your life? You've had a wonderful family, wife, and children. All of a sudden you get leprosy and you have to be separated. If you never get healed, I'm thinking it's the rest of your life, is it not? In Bible times, the rest of your life, you're separate from your family. What a terrible thing that would have had to have been. There were two types. There was the lepromatous type. It was this form begins to spread. Portions of the eyebrows may disappear. Then spongy tumor-like swellings appear on the face and body. The disease is systemic and involves the internal organs as well. It is deep-seated in the bones and joints and marrow of the body, resulting in the deterioration of the tissues between the bones that results in deformity, loss of feeling in the appendages, and in the fingers and toes eventually falling off. This form is incurable and lasts until the victim finally dies, often by the invasion of other diseases because of the weakened condition. They may live for 20 or 30 years in this miserable condition. That was leprosy. There was another one called the tuberculoid type, which was less severe and lasted about 3 years, and you could be recovered from that. The first type, the really bad type, you had to really have a miraculous healing pretty much to be cured from that. Question number 6. With all his credentials and plaudits, what was the one thing he lacked? Purity. That's the one thing he really needed. But Naaman needed to be cleansed of his disease. We need to be cleansed of our sin as well. That's the answer to humankind's troubles. That's the answer to sin. The sin is the problem. The answer is Christ. He is still the answer. We used to have the license plate, Jesus is the answer, and he still is, whether you have it on your car or not. He is still the answer for us. He is. He's the answer for mankind. He is the one who, the only way we can find cleansing and purity is to trust in him as Savior. Whenever the Lord Jesus healed a leper, he always pronounced that person not healed, but cleansed. So it was defiling. It was disfiguring. Disfiguring. Compare the disfiguring leprosy with that of sin. Does sin not destroy? It does. Sin destroys so much. It was a Mel Trotter who started so many rescue missions that he stole the shoes off his dead child's body to go buy more alcohol And yet God miraculously saved him. I believe it was 23 or 33 missions he started. The disfiguring of life, God's the only one that can bring the healing that is needed. What disfiguring? So we find that leprosy, what a picture, if you would, of what sin does. Another description is ancient leprosy began as a small red spots in the skin. Before too long, the spots grew up bigger and started to turn white with sort of a shiny, scaly appearance. Pretty soon, the spots spread over the whole body and hair began to fall out, first from the head and even from the eyebrows. As things got worse, fingernails and toenails became loose. They started to rot and eventually kale off. Then the joints of fingers and toes began to rot and fall off piece by piece. Gums began to shrink and they couldn't hold their teeth anymore. So each of them was lost. Leprosy kept eating away at the face until literally the nose, the palate, and even the eyes rotted, and the victim wasted away until death. It was absolutely a death sentence. One man said, there are sepulcher walking. That's what a person with leprosy is in that era. Sin also destroys feeling. It was deadening. The sin destroys feelings. Can you imagine now? Perhaps Naaman was trying to reach for his sword and found out his fingers won't wrap around that anymore because there is no feeling. And do I have my sword? And perhaps he found himself cutting himself with his sword because he couldn't feel his extremities. Maybe perhaps that had started already. I'm not sure. But it has a deadening effect. And fourthly, it's disassociating. What Old Testament people were banished for a time. Miriam was banished for a time in Numbers 12. And 2 Kings 15, King Uzziah usurped that and he was banished. Now Moses had his hand become leprous and put it back in and became unleprous quickly. Gehazi, even his family, as you're turning to page 3, was succumbed to because of his sin to leprosy. Question number 9, would Naaman be able to escape because of his grandeur? And no. Sin is, I was thinking of, realize that probably the greatest Ponzi scheme person of our era, our lifetimes, passed away, was it last week? It was last Friday. You don't even know what I'm talking about? Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff was the Ponzi scheme where he had all these things and people would beg him to take their money. And he had this big scheme and he was worth, at the point in time, I guess, millions and millions and millions of dollars. He had this big shock of silver hair and he would take him out to lunch and, oh, please let me invest my money with you. They did not know he was siphoning it off. When he was sentenced to prison, 150 years in prison, one son shortly after died of cancer, the other son committed suicide. He just recently died in prison. Sin is no respecter of persons. No matter how much money you may have in this world, our sin's going to find us out and be responsible. So we find that it was deadly. So Naaman, even though he was so mighty in Syria, was a leper. That was the singular most important thing known about him. And it was deadly. A walking sepulcher. For the wages of sin is death. Not only the circumstances, but secondly then, the concern of Naaman's maid in verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. First of all, her placement by God, divine design in life's events. Does God have events in your life designed at times? My wife and I were talking on the phone, and she was coming home from work, and she says, "Hello up there in front of me. Hello, the light's still green. Hello." And then he got off his phone and hurried through the light. And she had, I missed that light because he was on his phone and looked up just in time for him to get through it and to leave me to wait for the light to go through. And all these things. You know, the bigger things in life, I am easier to understand maybe how God's going to use those or using those. It's these little things that come your way, the sand fleas that come in your house, or the slow people on the road, or this, that, or the other, or things, the snake in the grass, or this, or the lawnmower battery dying over the winter and have to buy a new battery. Oh, all these things, or the frost getting all your plants outside, all these things. And yet God allows the little things in my life to mold me, not to make me angry or whatever. So the placement the pain of providence. How do you think the little Jewish maid came to serve in Damascus? Well, we are told they would go out by night and they would rob and pillage and they would gather and they really like to take slaves. And so this little girl, when's the last time you thought about this little girl's plight in regards to Naaman? We give Naaman all the press. This little girl was taken from her Christian home, Yahweh, Jehovah Center home, and into a foreign country. How would you have felt? What would you have done? I would have spiked his tea. You know, I would have done something. You know, I'd poison here. I mean, you took me away from my home. What am I? This little girl's not like that at all. She was, I think she's really concerned. Why would you say she's really concerned? The next, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet. I think that's an earnest, a compassion. Oh, I really wish, Naaman, you were in Israel because there's a prophet. I've been told that by my mom and dad. That prophet who has God's ear, if you would. His name's Elisha. Oh, I wish you were in Israel. It was Mr. Butler says this. He says, the marauding expeditions of ancient times had for one of their main objects the capturing of slaves. In one raid, a young Jewish girl was among the captives taken. She was taken to Damascus and eventually became Naaman's property, and specifically his wife's servant, all because, so at this one time in history, she, oh, I wish you knew about Elisha, because he could take care of that. What heartache and tears, homesickness and terror must have been this little girl, Jewish girl's lot when she was cruelly and forcefully taken captive and transported. But who was better off, the maid who was in touch with God or Naaman? I tell you, it was the maid who was in touch with God. What are some things that money can't buy? Like health, love, your children's affection. So many rich people sometimes think that if they can buy their children's love, or true friendship, you can't buy true friendship. Peace with God cannot be bought. It only comes through faith and trust in God. Not only was the pain, but there was the purpose of the providence. God wants to be glorified, and he ought to be. What is God's purpose in this little maid's providence? Well, 5:15 of our chapter, and he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. It was the salvation of one Naaman, a Syrian. That's the purpose God had this for one point in time. What would you think about God having you live your entire life for one moment where you said, spoke up for God that one time? Think about how many prophets came on the scene in the Bible. We only hear about them for a short time, and we never hear about Jonah. What do you know about Jonah beyond chapter 4? What do you know about Jonah before he went to Nineveh? We're supposed to go to Nineveh. Before he got on the ship going to Tarshish. he's from Gath Hepher. Not a lot. He wasn't a good swimmer because he got swallowed by the fish, evidently. I don't know. He was a rebel. He was rebellious against God. He hated the Ninevites, obviously. What about for you and me? Maybe there's one person God has chosen for you to lead others to Christ. Do you know that if each of us led one person to the Lord per year, and then there'd be two next year, and next year the two of us led two more before the next year, 35 years, 35 billion people would have been saved in 35 years. Five times about the current population of the earth. If each of us led only one person to the Lord, one per year. 35 billion people. Wow. It can be done. Couldn't it have been done? It could have been done if we had been, and preachers especially, it puts us in there, preachers especially, if we had been on ball for what God had called us to do, then more, certainly. So we find that God wants to be glorified, last page, and he should be, and so this little girl is going to glorify God by promoting God through the person of Elisha. Question 12, some think that it's cruel of God to allow us to suffer. But why did Jesus suffer? God allows us, if he would, to suffer, to wake us up sometimes. The church there in Canada, Grace Life Church, has really been there on the front lines of being woken up to what can happen when there's people against you and you have to have an underground church. They've been woken up, the Chinese people have been woken for decades regarding the true church. Her performance for God, it was earnest in 5. It says, would And she said, they're there, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What a faith. Oh, but I tell you what, Elisha's done some great things. And I tell you, if you go see Elisha, I tell you, I believe Elisha could heal him if you'll just trust him. What do you think of the phrase, would God, emphasize, I think, her earnestness. It was no yawning. Oh, well, you know, there are some popsicles in the freezer if you want them. You can get them if you want. If you don't want them, I'm going upstairs and I'm going to watch TV. It wasn't like that. It was like, oh, I wish he was in Syria and go see Elisha. Where had it was knowledgeable. Where had little maid learned? I think this from her home. I read this comment just yesterday. I found it. I think it was. It says, and see the benefits of a religious education. Had not this little maid been brought up in the knowledge of the true God, she had not been an instrument of so great salvation. Train up a child in the way that he should go. That's what we should be doing. It doesn't guarantee. That's not an ironclad promise, an ironclad statement. Every single child, train up in the way he should go, none will ever depart. It's saying a general principle. We are to train them up. And as they get out from our home, then it's their responsibility to obey God themselves, right? We cannot stand over them. I'm sure my son does not want me standing over him telling him, he doesn't want that a bit more than a man in the moon. He wants to live his own life, and he makes his own decisions. And that's our children get out. But we are to train them. Our responsibility is to train them as God would have them be trained. It was opportune also. What a lowly position, but what an important position it was. And it was gracious. What would have been our response had we been the position of the little man? Well, serve him right. I mean, my goodness, he bought me and I'm his slave. I don't get anything out of this. She could have been in today's culture of, it's all about me and I think I'm entitled a lot much more than this. It wasn't like that at all. Listen, if you go see Elisha, I think he can heal. I think God will heal you if you'll go. How this shames, as we close, many adult professing Christians who get miffed at the slightest offense and quit serving in the church. We are serving the Lord. And by the way, it does not give us a right to start doing things that miff other people. I told Mr. Womack tonight I was going to try to be nice. I was going to be nice. And turn over, and he says that was quite unusual for me. I was going to turn over a new leaf. And before I even got the service started, I had said something, you know, it was like back to the old way. I think this little girl is a great reminder for us. As Mrs. Keene, the late Mrs. Keene, would say, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you have been planted. If God's planted you somewhere, then bloom in that spot. Maybe you're going to be influenced on someone, and that's the reason you're even, God gave you life, is for this one moment in time. Stephen Alford did not know it, but there was a point in time when he met a man named Billy Graham and pointed Billy Graham to Christ, and Billy Graham received Christ as personal Savior. And Stephen Alford, you never even heard of him before. He was going under his garage door, and the garage door fell on his head and killed him. What an unusual thing that was. And yet he was an outstanding speaker. And yet who knew Stephen Alford? But he's the one that led Billy to the Lord. Amazing. What God will do with us, if we'll be faithful. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this little maid who was faithful in a difficult circumstance to still trust you and to still have positive things and helpful things to say to others. May we be about your business. May we not get this sense that we are entitled to so much better. Lord, you've given us our lives. Everything we have is yours. That in turn needs to be given back unto you. And Lord, whether it's much or little or next to nothing, Paul said he's learned whatsoever state he was to be content. May we be content with what you've given us and not be succumb to the materialism of others or the world. Well, help us to look to you, turn our eyes upon you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.